Stocks are lower today, but buying and selling them may be getting cheaper for some. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Ahead of the official jobs report due Friday, a private sector count this morning finds 135,000 more people were on American payrolls in September. Now, more people working is good, but forecasters were expecting more. Let's consult Susan Schmidt. She's head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors in Chicago. Hello there, Susan.
Good morning.
So 135,000 more people on U.S. payrolls for September. Do you see that as below trend?
Well, certainly below estimates. Estimates were closer to 150,000. 135 isn't terrible. It's actually a good number. At this stage, to keep the economy rolling, we need about 125,000 jobs added. So we're right in line with that, but it's certainly not a robust number, and the August numbers were revised down. So I think this is going to cause some extra caution on top of everything else that's going on with investors looking at all this data.
I'm hearing you say this is not red alert, but maybe yellow alert.
I think it's cautionary, and investors are taking it as such. We saw some weak economic data yesterday. More economic data is coming out Friday. Remember that this is just the ADP report. This is private payroll data. The government number will come out on Friday. They don't always line up. So I think investors are going to wait and see that second data point and see where things stand.
Always good to talk to Susan Schmidt. She's at Aviva Investors in Chicago. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, day traders love volatility. They see it as often an investment opportunity. And starting this week, some day traders, as well as just folks who want to buy an individual stock now and again, are going to get a big price break. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us now from Washington. Nancy, what's going on?
Well, Charles Schwab announced yesterday it's eliminating commissions on certain types of trading. So starting later this week, you'll be able to buy or sell stocks, a certain type of mutual fund known as an ETF, and options without paying a commission. Hours later, TD Ameritrade did the same thing. And this comes less than a week after Interactive Brokers Group announced it's going to zero commissions on stocks and ETFs listed on U.S. stock exchanges. Schwab and TD Ameritrade eliminated commissions for trades on U.S. and Canadian exchanges.
In the case of Schwab, that does mean less money. Its stock fell nearly 10% yesterday. Why are they doing this?
It's all about matching the competition, David. They're competing for individual investors who trade stocks and tend to shop around, and these brokers are trying to lure them in. It's like they're having a sale. Deborah Furr is founder of ETFGI, an independent research and consulting firm. Here's how she explained it to me.
It's kind of like a grocery store. They run ads offering to sell something at a discounted price to the normal price, hoping you come into the store and buy more things. So that would be a similar analogy here.
So they're hoping that you will open an account. Maybe you'll sign on with one of their financial advisors. They can charge you a custodial fee for holding the assets in your account. But before they can charge you anything, they have to get you in the door.
Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you. And while we're talking lower fees, there's news that Sony has cut in half the price of its PlayStation Now game subscription service, $10 a month, the annual fee $60. There are more of these game subscription services now. Stadia from Google, Project X Cloud on the way from Microsoft. Marketplace helps you stay sharp on crucial matters related to business, the economy, and money. And to help you do some numbers of your own, you can get your very own Marketplace Pencil Pack when you become a Marketplace investor today. It's a set of six pencils, each stamped with a favorite Marketplace quote, yours for a donation of just $5 a month. Support public service journalism and get your pencil pack today at marketplace.org. And thank you. The Federal Aviation Administration ordered airlines today to check 165 Boeing 737s for structural cracks. They have a week to do this. It's the NG model, not the 737 MAX that's been grounded after two crashes. Hundreds of protesters in Hong Kong are staging a sit-in outside the school of a teenager who was shot by police during violent clashes yesterday, the 70th anniversary of the People's Republic of China. The student was the first pro-democracy demonstrator to be shot with a live round in the nearly 4 months of escalating violence in that city. He's said to be in stable condition. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani has this report for us about growing economic inequality in Hong Kong as one component fueling protests.
In a night market on the streets of Kowloon, I meet a group of young students. Amidst the clattering of dirty dishes, I heard about their fears for the future.
I want to change my family's life because in Hong Kong they have to work hard to pay the high rent or maybe the food price. Now when I grow up, I cannot do that.
Even when I graduate from the university, I will live with my family.
These issues aren't why young people are taking to the streets. But it has fueled their resentment of a system they feel has neglected them. Chan Wai Kung is a lecturer at Hong Kong Polytechnic University. He's published a report on job prospects and wages for young people in Hong Kong over the last 30 years. He says that in that period of time, starting salaries for fresh graduates have largely stayed the same, while property prices have gone up tenfold.
Our economy is dominated by a handful of powerful families reluctant to invest in high-tech industry. Young people want to get into the high-tech industry. There are not a lot of good chances for them.
There's perhaps no better illustration of Hong Kong's housing crisis than if you wander through a public housing estate. This is one of the most expensive cities in the world to own a flat. More than half of Hong Kong's households can't afford to do that. These public housing estates were meant to be the solution, but there's simply not enough of them. Stanley Wong has joined me here to tell me why that's the case. As the former chairman of Hong Kong's Task Force on Land Supply, he was tasked with solving the housing crisis. He says there's more than enough land in Hong Kong. Developers hold most of it, but have no incentives to build public housing.
If they develop into residential housing on a private basis, they fetch 10 times as much. For public rental housing, they will then lower the profit to roughly about 5 times as much.
All of this has contributed to the highest inequality rate in Hong Kong in 45 years. The government now recognizes it needs to fix things, but it may be too little, too late. In Hong Kong, I'm the BBC's Karishma Vaswani for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.